Joseph Lindsley is in Odessa. Let's check in with him right now. Joe, there was another Russian drone attack on Kyiv. What else has been happening since we last spoke?
Well, Bob, hello from a nice sunny day here in Odessa. And indeed, as has been the case almost every day for the past 3 weeks, there have been Russian drone attacks throughout Ukraine and continued attacks on cities near the border like Sumy. But there also was a massive Ukrainian drone attack upon Moscow and the surrounding region. And it seems to have been the largest attack upon Moscow since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. This is highly unusual, and this is with Ukrainian-made drones. Ukraine does not have permission to use tools from the West to hit places deep within Russia. But it seems that Ukrainians, with this fleet of drones, they were targeting airports in Moscow, and civilian airport traffic among Moscow's several airports was halted for several hours. And, you know, this is important to remember that, you know, there have been no civilian flights in Ukraine since February 24th, 2022. You know, none at all. I mean, most people that come to the country arrive by train or sometimes by car. But there were no flights in this, the largest country in Europe. And so for the first time, the people of Moscow have had some inconvenience with a few hours of cancellation or of no flights there because of this drone barrage. It's thought that at least one of these airports, the Russian military transport planes were on the runway. And Russians claimed that their air defense took out most, if not all, of these drones, except for at least one, because there's a video. We can see a drone hitting a residential apartment building in Moscow. And it's not known if that drone went off course or if that's a result of the Russian electronic warfare that was trying to protect the airports. But the drone did hit a residential building. And, you know, this is and some of the headlines say, you know, one killed in Russia. But, you know, this is the Russians have not felt war except for those who have, you know, come onto Ukrainian soil to fight. There are not, you know, usually attacks like this at all in Russia. And this is the type of stuff that Kyiv, especially these past weeks, has been going through almost every night. So this is it's a sign of strength for Ukraine that they can get right into the heart, you know, of the Russian capital. And it's, you know, it's another, as I look here in Odessa, just down the road from me, I can see the Black Sea. And as I've talked about a lot, but, you know, when I look at that sea, I see cargo ships coming and going from the port here in Odessa. Even though some of the port buildings are damaged from missile attacks, the trade is happening, and that's because of what Ukrainian drones have been able to do. They've been able to protect the Black Sea to make it very dangerous for Russian ships to be there. And the grain exports now in the Black Sea are at the levels they were before Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. So that's a big victory for Ukraine. And now we see last night that Ukrainian drones are also able to hit Moscow. Of course, you know, there's probably going to be some response from Russia, but that's, I think that is to be expected. That's the nature of war.
Russia's regional governor announcement this morning reads this way: a woman has been killed and another person wounded as air defenses around Moscow intercepted at least 14 Ukrainian drones. So the spin there is obviously always in Moscow's favor, isn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, they're very good at the, you know, the propaganda and saying, you know, because even Russian officials are saying, oh, Russia's under attack now from Ukraine. And so finally, after 2.5 years, Ukraine gets in a position to be able to hit back. And it's, you know, sometimes portrayed in a negative way. But we have to remember, you know, like the cities, you know, not only like, I mean, Kyiv and Odessa and Kharkiv, which get hit so heavily by the Russians. But then there are other smaller cities that are gone. They're completely erased, like Bakhmut, like that city of Volchansk in the Kharkiv region, which the Russians began to hit in May. And I was just looking at a before and after picture. You had a nice park in the center of that small city with a golden-domed Orthodox church and surrounded by sort of Soviet-era apartment buildings. But it looked like a pleasant place. And now it's all gone. You know, the dome of the church is gone. Everything. That city has been absolutely annihilated. And so this is what Ukrainians continue to face. And, you know, every single, you know, so many people I talk with here, I mean, you know, all the futures here are interrupted. You know, you can't, people can't dream the way they used to. Everything has to be about working for victory. And, you know, here in Odessa, part of the propaganda from Russia has been, you know, they're trying to save Russian speaking people. And Odessa is a Russian speaking city. It still is to a large degree. And the, but I've noticed with every time that I come here, like I had not been here for maybe 8 months, and there are more, I hear more and more Ukrainian on the streets. And when I speak Ukrainian, people speak it back to me. That didn't happen a year ago. It was really Russian speaking a year ago. But I think the more and more the city gets attacked, and I've seen this in Kharkiv too, people become more defiant, even down to the level of changing their language and trying to speak Ukrainian as an act of defiance. But that said, like if you speak Russian in Odessa, or even if someone from Odessa goes to Lviv and speaks Russian, you know, there's no discrimination. You know, it's a free country and you can speak what you will. And I really do feel that here in the city of Odessa.
That's so interesting. Oftentimes you tell us stories and then weeks, sometimes months later, we read about them or hear about them. And that was the case the other day. I read the Wall Street Journal story about those very prominent military pilots you talked about here, Joseph, Juice and Moonfish, who were tragically killed. And the story was about how they made a pitch for F-16s in a meeting with U.S. senators back in June of 2022. And you read about these two, and it's just heartbreaking, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, and I heard that even some of the congressmen who met with those guys stayed in touch with them. They were so inspired by them, and they sort of built up a friendship. And, you know, and Moonfish was killed during that, the biggest missile attack upon Ukrainian cities just a few weeks ago. And he was able to protect. I mean, he was able to shoot down some incoming cruise missiles, but it was really such an intense moment that he was not able to survive it. And as we think about, you know, the work they did to advocate, you know, getting F-16s to Ukraine, I'd be curious to see if during the presidential debate tonight between Harris and Trump, if Ukraine comes up. But there is more than $6 billion of funding that Congress has approved for Ukraine that expires the end of this month. It expires October 1st. And the White House is leaving it on the table. They're choosing not to use it. And this really hurts Ukraine because that money, like, you know, in the news reports, that money counts as having been spent on Ukraine. And so, you know, people like Elon Musk complain, oh, all this billions to Ukraine, and it's not coming here. It's just sitting there. So it'll be interesting to see if that will come up in the presidential debate tonight.
Yes, Ukraine, definitely one of the topics of interest later on. Joseph Lindsley in Odessa today. Joe, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Till tomorrow. Thank you, Bob.